AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. Thanks for tuning in. I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860. If you live in Philadelphia or the tri-state area, and if you live at a distance, go to your telephone or to your internet, log on and tell the people to tune in to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, each Wednesday morning, we send out an email to thousands of our supporters, and we welcome them, no matter where they live, near or far, to tune into our broadcast. So I ask that you consistently do that. And after today's broadcast, we'll be sending out an email with our broadcast of today and ask that you email it to family and friends. Today, we have a special guest joining us. His name is Scott Paul. He's the director of the Alliance for American Manufacturing. And many of you that saw the American-made movie saw Scott Paul's appearance in that movie with Mark Andel. I'm going to ask Mark Andel to take it from here and introduce Scott.
Yeah, Scott is a good friend of mine, and you know, he is the president of Alliance of American Manufacturing. He is our voice in Washington. He's done a ton on the manufacturing reassurance in the United States, and I'd like to welcome Scott to say a few words. He also co-stars with me in the American-made movie. Welcome aboard, Scott.
Hey, Mark, thanks for the kind introduction, and Michael, thank you for having me on your show. I think if we had more Americans tuned in to what y'all are doing, we'd have a healthier economy and stronger communities and happier workers.
Scott, we have two other individuals with us today, and that's Larkin Connolly, who is the regional vice president of SCORE, and that's a new position that Larkin has, and also Rich Loges, who you've been talking with. Back to Mark.
Yeah, Scott. So, you know, I'd just like to say the American-made movie is doing very well. They made a curriculum that's going national, so they're trying to get this in every school in the country. I think you played an instrumental role in the movie. And I'd like to just, you know, have your thoughts on this Made in America movement that we all are a part of, and just kind of tell us where it is in Washington and, you know, how you feel the movement's going today.
Well, Mark, thanks to you, the movie is a success. I was only nodding yes to all the great things you were saying in it, but I do agree that there's a lot more awareness thanks to the movie and honestly thanks to your store. I mean, I think a lot of people thought it was impossible to do a Made in America store, and not only have you done it, you've done it with a very strict standard, and you've been able to sustain it, and I think that's fantastic. I do think that over the past few years that a lot of consumers have rediscovered the importance of buying America, and I think that the recession contributed to that in a great deal. We saw what our economy looked like if it wasn't strong, and I think intuitively a lot of folks said, well, one way, what can I do? One of the things that I can do is if I buy an American-made product, that's going to help put food on the table for another American worker, and that's ultimately going to get back and help me somehow. And so I do think that there was a reconnection there. I also think that, I mean, you see it in big brands now. I mean, Walmart has a Made in America campaign. You know, I'm a little bit skeptical about some of their motives for that and how much of an impact it will have. But the fact that, you know, the world's largest retailer thinks they need to have a voice in this is actually a significant achievement for people like you, because they feel like they need to somehow add their voices to this. We just have to keep them honest now.
And Scott, I think when you welcomed me to your headquarters a few times, which I thank you for in Washington, I'll never forget you telling me that, Mark, thanks to you or your initiative, we built this 98% made in America. So I want people to know how serious you are to show off the trades and the, you know, all the handwork and manufacturing work in your own headquarters in Washington. It's just outstanding. It's like a big man cave.
It's a man cave where we get a lot of things done, but it is a, I mean, we purposefully sought that out. We were inspired by your story, and, you know, I will say that, and you know this in particular, on electronics, it's virtually impossible to find something that's 100% made in America, and, but we were able to find some of the, some televisions that were at least assembled here. But every, you know, almost everything else, there are lots and lots of choices that we had. And I would add that they were at all price points. I mean, they were at kind of an entry-level price point. They were at kind of a medium-level price point and at a very high-level price point. So we have everything from, you know, we have office furniture from Western Michigan. We have deck furniture from North Carolina. We have flooring from Georgia. We have, you know, a garbage disposal from Wisconsin, and, you know, everything else that you could ever imagine, from the drywall to the windows and the ceiling tiles, we made sure were made in America by American workers. And it and the secret is, it wasn't that difficult. All you had to do was do a little bit of research, and we had an architect who was great to work with, and it was entirely possible to do it. And we're proud that it's a showcase for the craftsmanship of American workers, the imagination of business owners like yourself. And we're also proud that you were able to fabricate a paper towel holder, because we couldn't find one that was made in America. We wanted a metal one, and Mark was able to do it for us. And so we're eternally grateful for that as well.
Hey, Scott, this is Larkin Connolly. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you, Larkin. Good to be with you.
I am still, and Mark is helping me to do the best he can. Not only do I need to find one that works, but I'd like to find one that's made in America, and that's just a plain old toaster. I think my son and I have decided that we could probably make one ourselves, find all the component parts and put it together. It wouldn't be that difficult. That's just not that difficult.
Yeah, so you're right. It's. I mean, there used to be a lot of toaster makers, but that's another one that we haven't been able to find. Was a toaster, and I mean, it was interesting. There were some things that, as we went on, we learned. Oh, so there is like a couple of coffee makers that are made in the U.S. And,
right.
And as we started out, we didn't know of any, and then we learned of some as we went on. But that's something we still haven't been able to figure out. But I'm sure someone who knows a little bit about heat transfers and metal crafting can get that done. But yeah, I'd love to see a mass market American toaster. I just haven't found one yet.
So let me take you backwards a little bit. We here on our program have well documented the fact, the made in America issue. Mark, we've told Mark's story, and Mark is such a profound part of this program. We've talked about the, you know, the city of Philadelphia where we're located, which is 400,000 manufacturing jobs 25 years ago and only 23,000 today. We know all about this. But, you know, what was it? Was it innovation? Was it production? What actually created this situation? How did we get in this position?
Well, it's a good question, and you know, there are a couple of examples that I find really unsatisfying. One of which is like, well, it's just the robots and the automation that are taking the jobs away. And another one is like, well, it's just this natural transformation. This is what healthy capitalism looks like. You go from an agrarian society to an industrial society to a post-industrial society, which could be in services or the World Wide Web or what have you. But here's the reality: we had the same number of manufacturing jobs in this country in 1999 as we did in 1979. And granted, the size of our country increased, the size of our workforce increased, but it ebbed and flowed in business cycles, but manufacturing jobs were the same in 1999 as they were in 1979. So that's a 20-year period. But since that time, since 1999, you know, we have lost about one-third of all manufacturing jobs. And it wasn't some, you know, new wave in productivity. It wasn't some wave in automation or robotics. It was precisely because of global competition, and in particular having China and some other countries that have very mercantilist practices, which means that their entire economy is built around on supporting manufacturing jobs, and they'll export their problems to other countries, being the United States. And we are the most open market in the world, and so we took the big brunt of that. And so things that were made in Philadelphia, things that were made in Western New York, things that were made all over the country started to be made overseas, and we saw imports surge, and that has continued unabated, despite the fact that you have some great entrepreneurs like Mark and others who are out there trying to make it work and putting people to work every day. They're able to do that, but there should be a whole lot more of that going on. We are the most underserved consumer market in the world, if you think about it. I mean, because about 58-60% of our manufactured goods are imported into the United States. We have a huge market right here at home that we could exploit if we had a better trade policy, and then if we got Washington to kind of understand that manufacturing is a critical part of our future, but just as it was in the 18th century, in the 19th century, and in the 20th century as well. We need it for the 21st century.
So what portion of this issue comes down to a United Steelworker making, that's a complete guess, $25 or $30 an hour, as opposed to a steelworker in China making, you know, 29 cents a day?
Yeah. I mean, there is the wage differential used to have a big impact, especially in lower skilled manufacturing jobs. And by those, I mean things like textiles, things like furniture, things that required a basic amount of skills that doesn't necessarily include welding or steel making. Now, as you move further up the wage scale, the problem becomes a little more complex. And it's not just that a Chinese steelworker makes less than an American steelworker. Oftentimes what you find is the American steelworker makes that up in terms of his own or her own productivity, which is virtually unsurpassed around the world. The real problem becomes other government policies, like China manipulating its currency or giving energy subsidies to its steelmaker and not caring what their emissions are out of their plants, or not enforcing the very weak labor laws they have on the books, or subsidizing their industry in other ways. And then when you look at that balance sheet, that tips the scale, unfortunately. And so it's a combination of wages, but more importantly, it's about government policies. And just to the last point, and I'll be brief about this, if you think that high wages are the cost of manufacturing jobs, you have to look no further than Germany to know that's not the case. Average manufacturing jobs in the United States, the average compensation is about $37 an hour, including benefits. In Germany, it's about $48 an hour. Yet Germany has twice the size of its economy in manufacturing as we do. And they haven't suffered nearly the amount of job loss. They've suffered some, but not nearly the amount that we have. So you look at that example, the German example, and you've got to say, well, it's not the wages. It's got to be something else. It's not the unions. It's got to be something else. And for me, it's about the trade policy.
Scott, this is Rich Loges. Again, thanks so much for being on. When we have you on again, I hope we're going to have you talk about manufacturing in Washington, which you just touched on. I want to ask you where you believe the perception that technology and automation killed jobs and drove them overseas. Where do you think that idea, that perception came from?
Well, the root is in economics, which refuses to kind of understand that international trade has a pretty profound jobs impact. But it's obviously embraced by some, but not all, some multinational companies because it's a convenient excuse. I mean, they don't have to explain their shifts of production abroad. And so it becomes this fable becomes fact when it's embraced by national leaders and the media. But I tell you, you know, common sense wise, if I'm talking to someone on the street in the Midwest or out west or in the South or in the Northeast, and you ask them what caused this manufacturing job loss, they'll say NAFTA, they'll say China. They'll say trade deals, but virtually none of them will say automation or productivity or robots. And it's frankly because they're right. And it's not only them. I mean, the economists who don't have a stake in the free trade debate, that means they aren't like these very kind of orthodox and rigid kind of free trade economists. The ones who have looked at the labor markets in manufacturing have come to the conclusion that outsourcing, and particularly to China, has had a wage effect on American manufacturing, has had a jobs effect that is impossible to ignore. And these are guys at MIT, so it's hard to say that their data is flawed. It's very real, and I just wish more pretend economists would read that and come to that same understanding.
You know, I was in Italy, Scott, about a year and a half ago, and was amazed at the fact that everything that is consumed in that Italian economy that I could see and I could find labels on was made in Italy. You know, there weren't any Armour hot dogs over there. There weren't any Acoste shirts. There weren't any Schwinn bikes. Everything was made in Italy by Italians.
Oh, and it's not only in Italy. If you find that in Germany, in France, in Brazil, in Mexico. I mean, this is unless you're going to Mark's store, you know, if you come through souvenir stores, you're going to find an American flag that was made in China. You're going to find magnets that were made somewhere else. You'd be lucky to find an American-made product. And that's, I mean, the American-made movie gets into that a little bit with the Smithsonian institutions and how it affected a maker of some of those tchotchkes in Connecticut. But it is it's part of the natural culture there. Here's what gives me hope. You see more of that now. You see pride in, like, made in Michigan or made in New York or wherever it is. And so you're seeing a reemergence of it. And I think we could be on the cusp of something great, but we're not there yet.
You know, I want to tell you, Scott, that our effort is trying to restore just a 50-50 balance between imported and American made. We're having great success. People are going out. They're speaking up where they shop everywhere. No matter what store it is telling me that people are not buying just for the sake of consuming anymore. They're looking at labels and shopping around. Gentlemen, I have to take a very brief break and we'll be right back.
Want products and services specifically made in America? Download the Go4USA mobile app today and you can have all the Made in America products in the palm of your hand. For simply 99 cents, you can download this great app from the iTunes Store and help bring jobs back to the USA. We encourage you to become a member of their mobile army. Joining is as simple as downloading the app and uploading the retail locations of American-made products near you. Show your support by wearing one of their custom Go4USA mobile army t-shirts or dog tags. Retailers and manufacturers even use this app to promote UPC-based Made in America products they make or sell. Go4USA is offering free downloads on Labor Day weekend as well as Columbus Day weekend. Start uploading today and become a proud member of the Go4USA mobile army. Contact goformadeinamerica.com to find out more information. Sonia Kaminsky-Breccia welcomes you to stop in and visit her at Nationwide's Ott & Associates agency located at 7967 Castor Avenue in Philadelphia. Sonia can handle any of your notary, licensing, and registration needs. Call Sonia today at 215-722-6020 or stop into their office and let her know you heard about her on this show.
Pat's Auto Tags invites you to stop into one of their convenient locations for any of your needs. From DMV to fishing and boating licenses, notary, and insurance, Pat's has you covered. Pat's Auto Tags is an approved PennDOT online messenger center. They also have instant online access to Harrisburg at their main location located at 2536 East Allegheny Avenue in Fort Richmond. You can also stop into one of their other locations at Sanger Streets and Harbison Avenue, or C Street and Allegheny Avenue, where you can speak with insurance agent Cliff Hutchins, who represents Progressive and 10 other insurance companies. Stop in or visit them online at patsautotags.com.
Welcome to our Wednesday edition of American Workers Radio. You're on air with Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and our special guest, Scott Paul, who is the director of the Alliance for American Manufacturing. Scott, I don't know how much more time you'll able to be with us, but I want to say thank you for all that you're doing. We do have your site linked. We know that you have done an enormous amount of work. Just the way you presented everything in the movie was in itself a testament of what you're trying to do. We're going to look forward to having you back many times as we discuss ways to bring back jobs to the USA. It's not going to be an easy task, but with people like you and all of our members of the panel and our listeners are very important because they go out and they speak up, and they're the people spending the dollars on American made.
Look, thanks for getting the word out on the radio, and it's been a longtime pleasure of mine to work with Mark. I am but his supporting actor in his starring role in an American made movie. I hope everyone has a chance to see it. It will help to change the dynamic quite a bit, and appreciate all the work that the four of you do to make Made in America more of a reality.
Wonderful.
Could you take a minute and just explain that you're a co-author of a book called Remaking America, and also what the Alliance of American Manufacturers actually is?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. We're a partnership. AAM is a partnership that deals with public policy. And we were established by Steelworkers Union and about 10 of the manufacturers that they work with in the plants around the country, whether we're from California to Maine, down to Georgia and Texas. We came on the scene about 7 years ago because we thought there needed to be a voice for domestic manufacturing and domestic manufacturing workers. So we've tried to influence the debate that way. Mark mentioned the book. I'm glad he did that. It's called Remaking America. I know it's available at his store and other places as well. But it takes almost an academic look at challenges facing manufacturing that's written by a very serious pros. It looks at everything from the workforce to trade policy to innovation and energy and a lot of things in between, but gives our policymakers on both sides, Democratic and Republican, a path forward on how to really strengthen manufacturing in this country and do it in a way that's going to have the support of the American people.
Scott, I have a special request of you. We have designated November as American Made Month. Now, someone like yourself involved in this effort so deeply, we're going to ask that you go to our internet site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and click on the November American Made Month. It's right under Mark's picture. And please do help us in every way that you can, because this is another opportunity for us to promote the manufacturing jobs we have in the USA with the idea of bringing more and more jobs back.
You know, for us, every day and every month is Made in America Month and American Made Matters, and be happy to take a look at that, help to get the word out. We participate in a lot of efforts to try to do that on our blog, and so we appreciate your outreach, and hopefully I think November is a great month because it's when people are starting thinking about holiday shopping, and hopefully they'll tune in. Great idea.
Wonderful. Larkin, before our guest leaves us, what do you have to
Well,
ask
I would only very self-centered fashion ask you if you have ever heard of SCORE as an organization.
Yeah, I have heard of SCORE. I haven't had a chance to to have as much collaboration and interaction as I hope. We keep pretty busy working on our on behalf of our stakeholders, and we end up playing a lot of defense, trying to prevent bad things from happening in Washington.
Right. Well,
and so, but I'd love to know more about it.
Well, I guarantee you, you will find out sometime soon. I won't let that dog lie. But
fantastic.
We're 11,000 mentors around the country, and we at no expense, as a collaborative partner of the SBA, help small businesses, you know, grow their business and do a significant play a significant role in starting businesses in America, and that's an alliance with an organization like yours that really moves the envelope forward for us. I thank you for what you're doing, and I do believe we're sitting on a paradigm, and I think that at 2015 and 16, people are going to start realizing that, you know, it's not a matter of spending money, it's a matter of how you spend your money.
Scott, again, thanks for being on here. This is Rich. My business is in integrating barcoding into businesses, and every week I have a conversation about automation technology and jobs, and I want you to know I always make them listen to some of your speech and some of your talks that I've found. So you're like a celebrity with some of my customers. I'm gonna take further what you have today to keep adding to it, and we're gonna have you back on again and again. Thanks so much for being here today.
Happy to help in any way. Appreciate all the work that all of you do, and for giving a voice to this. And look forward to help get more people on board and get more jobs back.
Yeah, Scott, thank you for coming on. You know, me and you have done a bunch together. Last time I think we showed the movie at the Capitol. I will make sure every member of our board gets your Remaking America. I'll personally send that to them. Thanks again for all you do, and let's keep in touch. I think we got a great big fourth quarter coming up here.
You bet, and I'll look forward to seeing you again, Mark.
Thanks.
And Scott, before you go, I want to just say, when you're in Philadelphia, I want to invite you to historic Philadelphia. Larkin and I, and we'll get Rich up, and maybe even entice Mark to get over to Philadelphia. We'll all meet and go to City Tavern or someplace and have a few good steaks or whatever we decide to have.
Well, it's the birthplace of my father, and he was a quarterback for Ambler High School back in the 1950s. I get back there often. Would love to come again.
Wonderful.
We'd love to have you here. We would love that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go back to our panel. Thanks so much, Scott, for being with us, and we look forward to we'll make sure that you get a copy of today's broadcast in your email. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, 1984 was a big year in America as we started to move our American-made issues on the table for people to start to really make some changes happen. But it was actually in 1884 that the United States Congress passed an act making the first Monday in September Labor Day. It became a national holiday for American workers to, you know, honor their skills, their strength, their prosperity, and their well-being, and to provide all Americans the ideals of getting a good job with job skills and all of that. Here we are 130 years later, and we're discussing what are we going to do to get those skills back and get that strength and prosperity back here in the USA so that no American worker celebrates a Labor Day holiday with the stress of being unemployed. What do you have to add to that, Mark?
Yeah, I just I think it's a wonderful weekend coming up to respect our workers. And, you know, America was built by the sweat and hard work of a lot of great Americans. And I think it's a great day to say thank you to our hardworking country. But I do agree with you, Mike. It's sad that some people don't have the jobs that they should. I think, you know, Scott, Paul, our panel, our listeners, we all play a part in this, and I think everybody's understanding and realizing the importance and that they can contribute. So I think we got to continue to do that, respect them hard workers, you know, for what they give our country. And, you know, they're not looking for handouts. They're working for their pay, and that's living the American dream.
You know, this is 10 years since we've been actually trying to contact the U.S. Congress to do something. It started actually in 04. Here we are 10 years later, and they've really done nothing. It's little operations across the USA and people like you and Mark and Larkin and all that are really helping to add a voice to it. When you hear someone like Scott Paul and hear what his organization's done in the last 7 years, you know that we are on the road to recovery. It would be so much better if we had those elected national leaders on our side.
Well, Michael, I don't disagree with what you said. My response to what you said, though, about contacting leaders is always, how much did you contribute? And I always advocate and encourage people to write to state, local, and federal leaders, so-called. I wrote a letter to the president last week about the Middle East. I haven't heard back yet. I suspect he's probably taken the letter up with his foreign policy advisors, because it was such a great thing that I gave him about the Middle East. It was essentially a plan to get us out of there and try to bring stability there. Whether it's jobs or foreign policy, which isn't really foreign policy, it's always about the Middle East. I mean, no one ever asked the presidential candidates, what's your position about foreign policy in Australia? If it were me, I'd say grab a surfboard, catch a wave. It's always really about the Middle East. All these things are connected. So people should continue, if they want to write to government of all levels. But what I think long-term could be more effective is people pleading other people. Just like we do on the show, just like, Mike, when you go out and bug the stores, which you do all the time, right? You get in there and you ask questions the same way that, Mark, you're adding choice and additional choices to your store. And, Mark, in the way you talk to the various businesses who are trying to get something up and running. Michael, that's where jobs are going to come from. They're not going to come out of thin air. They're going to come from businesses that are existing, that are growing, and new businesses. And this is exactly where Larkin comes in with capital, because I do think that we should talk about that all the time like he does.
I think we have to bring someone on who's going to help address this step by step. What is going to change that around? I heard an ad on one of the radio stations. They said that for the longest time, the big banks gave up on giving loans to small businesses. So the small banks stepped in and started to do it to their best of their ability. Now that they're seeing the small banks are doing it, the big banks are starting to think, well, maybe we should do it as well.
So the mission and vision of SCORE, which has changed just a very little bit at our last national leadership meeting, which is why I was not on the air last week, I was there, is to grow, start and grow a million small businesses before the end of this decade. We have counseled, started, grown, helped 10 million businesses since we have been found. And this is SCORE's 50th year. So if you want to have a guest on that you want to drill and quiz about exactly how we're going to dissect this cow and make this mad cow disease go away, I'm your guy, because SCORE is really so dead set on this mission, it's not funny. I'm starting on my personal mission on the Northeast by gathering all of my district directors who run the 80 chapters that I'm responsible for, all the district directors in the Southeast and all the district directors in the center portion of the country, of the continent, are going to Orlando in November, and learn exactly what it is they can do to turn this country around. And our concentration for the first day and a half is going to, in fact, be the manufacturing segment. And I am pleased to announce today, as I did this morning, Mark, to the other participants, that the keynote speaker the first night will be Mark Andel. And I'm very, very proud that you accepted.
Well, thank you. I'd like to just say, thank you, Larkin, for asking me to be a keynote speaker to something so important. And I know you've got the energy to make change. You're gonna be stabbing that bee's nest a lot and rocking and rolling with everybody involved. When we talk about capital, a few weeks back we talked about community banks. So then, lo and behold, I get a busload of bankers to the store from, I believe it was Missouri. And they're all members of a community bank. So I asked a lady, and I'm sorry, it was Indiana, because it was Kokomo, Indiana. And I said, explain the community bank. Well, we believe in helping the business and putting the money back in to the local community. And it's funny, and I want to open that up more. I'm personally doing more investigating, trying to find a community bank around me. I just liked, I think we started on the show talking about community banks, but maybe that is something to look into for entrepreneurs, Larkin.
Oh, in the short term, Mark, you're 100% right. Community banks are address primarily exactly what their name is, communities. They don't have borrowers or lenders or depositors from East Jibip if they're not in East Jibip. They really do survive being in the community that they're in. And in order to make money in the banking industry, you have to rent it. I mean, it's like asking a guy to own an apartment building and say, hey, listen, just look at them for a while. Don't rent any of them out. Just look at them. Or the people that you have in there, charge them exorbitant fees to stay, which is, I guess, a little bit of a stretch. Community banks are there to lend money. They want to lend money, and that's how they survive. The big boys live on service fees and charging you $30 a month to maintain your checking account. And you know, I remember walking into my bank, which is a big bank, and it's not red, white, or blue. It's, I think, kind of green, but it's a big bank. And I walked in, I knew the assistant manager, and I said, what in the Lord's name is that? Is that every depositor? And he said, no, those are our bank charges for the last, I think he said, 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, this thing looked like a computer report the size of, and it's bounce checks, service fees that are being charged. It's just amazing. What we got to do is get the bank and lending institutions to turn around, face the other direction, and decide that they're going to lend money to local people who ultimately, Mark, you got a bank in Buffalo that lent you money. Where do you deposit your money?
Which banker?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Citizens right now.
And is Citizens lending you money?
No. I mean, they did lend me money. It's just very difficult
right.
to work with the larger bank.
My whole point being is the relationship you have with Citizens goes way beyond them lending you money. You do your deposits there. You probably run your credit cards through their system. I mean, it's a relationship, and they've got to understand that. But community banks understand that. They get that.
They do. They do. In fact, you know, as you guys are talking, maybe this is some area that we have to really promote. Make sure those people in the community try their local community bank first and see what's going to be happening with their loan. In fact, the bigger banks, because they are some of them, not all, but they are foreign managed and foreign owned, maybe they really don't have an interest in business here in the USA. As long as they're able to get their charges, well, who cares about the bank loans when we can make no risk effort and just get the charges?
Yeah, I think, Mike, it's a great idea on our show for our listeners. I mean, we suggest SBA. Larkin's brought it up a lot of times, and I've used it in my life. We suggest now community banks. Start there if you're an entrepreneur or looking for capital. We suggest always buy Made in America products because it's a win-win-win. You get a great quality product. You support a manufacturer. That manufacturer gets to sustain their workers or create more livelihoods. So we're continuing to give some answers or solutions or starting points.
Yeah, we have to start really pushing the ball in the court of the local people. We have right now in America 29 million private sector businesses that are employing over 120 million people. When we announced that the other day at an event, the people said to me, what do you mean there's only 120 million people in America? I thought you were saying it was 146. I said, yes, there is 146 working Americans, but 24 million of those happen to be government people working in the private sector, not private, but the public sector, and we're paying them through our tax dollars. Well, people couldn't believe it. So when I talk about we need 40 million actual private sector jobs, I really mean we need that many. And with the people like Scott Paul and Mark, I was really pleased all that he said about your efforts, Mark, because what you did is you took a chance from start to finish. You really went out of your way to make sure that what you wanted to do happened. And that's very hard to do these days.
And you have to live and breathe it. You know, we're not out of the woods. We constantly, I've got a great team I always talk about. It's a lot of hard work, especially when I had another business. But the great people that work for me, I do it for. But the community, the feedback we get, the thank yous, and people recognize we need it now. And I too, what Larkin mentioned earlier, 2015, 2016, election years, it's happening. Rich is suggesting, you know, everybody get out and vote. You know, we're suggesting do your part. Buy Made in America. This is stuff that works, and people, I think, they're slow to grab a hold, but they're realizing the power they have.
They do have the power. In fact, Mark, I have to mention that just yesterday, someone called me from Chittawaga, and in the conversation, I said, oh, have you been to the American Made store? And he says, absolutely. I said, do you know Mark Andel? He says, sure. He puts on a lot of good parties over there.
Yeah, we got our September 7th Fall Festival coming up, where we do a tribute to 9/11, Never Forget Those Serving. We do music, and, you know, we make it free for a family. This year we're having two big-screen TVs to launch the Bills' first game. And just good stuff, but free family fun. But people enjoy themselves. They look forward to it. And it's a way for us to make people more aware just by having them out and saying thank you. It's a big customer appreciation day. You know, I think we just got a lot of great things going, guys.
And I want to say before I go to acknowledging some of our sponsors, please do fly your American flags throughout this holiday season. I mean, Labor Day is a day to have a good time, but it's also a day to salute our workers and remind people that we need jobs. And I must say that everywhere I go, I have never seen so many American flags flying in communities, at stores, you name it. The flags are up all summer. I mean, it's really been grateful. So good to see. I'm grateful to everybody that's taking our request to do that. And I would like to take a moment just to acknowledge briefly today some of our sponsors, which include Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, Serena's Auto Body Shop, the Netcost Market, the PRCUA, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, Michael Steinman, attorney at law, and also Dr. Eva Machak and her two dental offices in Philadelphia, and Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, reminds you that he is on the 26th floor of 1835 Market Street in Philadelphia. And when you're out shopping, always check out Polka Deli. They're located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue. And the Polish American Travel Service welcomes you to contact them for all travel information. And when you're out shopping, be sure to look for Giorgio products, whether it's their mushroom products or their frozen food items. Check them out where you shop. And the Washington Savings Bank has five locations in Philadelphia. Best wishes to all from Martin Bednarek, who is the president, for a great Labor Day. Fly your flags proudly. And Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, wishes all of you the very best and encourages you to go to the Polish American Festival there at Częstochowa, taking place Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of Labor Day weekend, and the following Saturday and Sunday as well. Best wishes also from Karen Janad of State Farm Insurance for all of your auto, home, and life insurance needs. Contact Karen Janad, a faithful sponsor of our broadcast. And Dr. Włodzimierz Zin wants you to smile all the time, so if you need any type of dental services, Dr. Włodzimierz Zin and Evers Dental is there to assist you. And Mr. Frank Spula, National President of the Polish National Alliance, reminds you to check into your life insurance plans. And if you need additional assistance or information, you can always call the PNA for all of their plan information. Give them a call at 1-800-621-3723. Well, Rich, I think we had a good information broadcast today. We learned a lot, as always.
Absolutely. And Mark, thanks for the intro. We're going to look, Michael, I'm looking to get more co-stars of Mark's on the show, working on additional guests. Just as an FYI for listeners, in 2 weeks, I have to check the calendar, 2 or 3 weeks, we have Nick Troiano coming back on. Since that's in the home stretch with his campaign for his seat that he's running for in PA District 10. And, you know, the thing, Michael, about what you guys are talking about, there's something that I think is some fortuitous timing, which is that as we see more and more people becoming conscious of products made in America and thinking about what they're buying more, thinking more about being a consumer, the good timing with it is we're seeing more products coming back here because of rising costs in many of our outsourced countries, namely China, and many of those costs are leveling out. So as people are becoming more aware, I believe over time they're going to find also that the choices that they have are also increasing. Right, Mark? This is what you're doing every day. You're looking to add more products. By the way, Michael, I'm now officially a customer, the Made in America store. I've got a bar stool on its way. So, Mark, thanks for that.
No problem.
The bar stool is actually for playing music, not for actually being used at the bar, just as an FYI.
Sounds good. You know, and we do add products all the time. We're excited with the fourth quarter. We've been crazy here, but you know what? We all work hard, you know, the whole panel here, my team, and we make things happen, you know, and I think people need to, you know, you can't be lazy. You can't sit back. I mean, you've got to take initiative. You've got to make things happen, and people can do their part by buying Made in America and talking it up, and I think it's coming. I've got great people that visit the store, and they go away even from the buses, and they tell everybody about it. And I tell them, even if you don't shop at my store, shop in your local communities. Use my website as a guide, and that works because, again, I tell them it's not just about me. It's about changing this country for our children's future, and I don't believe a lot of people understand they have that power.
They do have the power, Mark. In fact, everything that we're trying to do, if every person listening now and everyone who's part of the campaign, everyone who gets our emails, just asks one more person this week, as we're marking Labor Day, I'm asking all of you to tell people about this movement. American workers need all of us. You can go to any of our sites. In fact, if you go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, you'll see Mark's site, Made in America. You'll see the November American Made Month Initiative. And right under that link is also a link. And I think it's a good thing for people to tune in. It's a half an hour, or was done on PBS. It's how a factory man fought to save his furniture business. It tells a lot about what happened here in the USA. When people tell me that they didn't realize what was happening, I say to them, it's absolutely not a fact. Because every night on the evening news, beginning in the mid-70s through the 80s, we heard on a regular basis, steel mills were closing, moving abroad. We heard clothing factories were closing, moving abroad. We heard all about the loss of jobs, but because that percentage of people still was working, it never hit home. But now that the people are suffering themselves and it's hit their own doorstep, there's no more excuses. They know they have to get on board and help us make this a success.
Exactly. You know, Mike, you know, consumer spending is 70% of our gross domestic product. We talk about it all the time. 70% of what our nation spends. And if consumers out of a dollar just spend one nickel of that same dollar on a Made in America product, they'll create a million jobs. I mean, it's amazing. It doesn't take much.
Right, Mark, and our plan is to get 50-50. If we could have just 50%, it would be much better because we would know that more people would be making the products and more people would have jobs. More people would be able to go out and spend money. More people would be able to go out and enjoy the arts and culture. But that's not happening now because we're in a slump. If a person has no job, they're not able to go out and have discretionary dollars at their disposal. It's as simple as that.
Well, Michael, that's one of the biggest. What you just said there is really long-term one of the biggest threats to the Made in America movement. Michael, you're talking about consumer empowerment. Mark, you're talking about talking it up. What that all really comes down to is pleading people. You put it in such simple terms, Mark. Spend an additional nickel out of a dollar.
A nickel.
And what kind of boost that could be economically. But we shouldn't ignore, guys, the what I see are the biggest threats to the Made in America movement. A mostly stagnant labor force, low wages, unemployment, China is still not going away despite the fact that costs are leveling, but let's not forget all of the many other emerging countries that 20 years ago had a bunch of two-year-old boys running around. Now they're all 22 full of you-know-what and vinegar that are going to be able to churn out those shirts and those toasters and whatever else we're buying. Those are some of the biggest threats. And if we're going to talk about, Michael, pleading government officials, well, we need to start seeing questions posed to candidates to see first and foremost if they even understand all of this.
You know, Rich, this week, if you have a moment, can you write a few questions down that you would like to see posed to candidates? And we'll discuss them during next week's broadcast. That's a wonderful idea. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, it's time for us to say do widzenia. I want to say thank you to Rich Loges for making arrangements for our guest Scott Paul to be with us today, and his co-star Mark Endel, for the unbelievable effort he has done for American workers. Kate Smith singing God Bless America in the back. She really meant God bless to all the supporters of the American Made movement. And Larkin Connolly, he's got a new obligation there with the score people, and he'll be talking more about all of his efforts in the future. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. I hope to see you at the festival at America's Częstochowa this Saturday, Sunday, and Labor Day Monday. Come by the main stage and let me know that you tune in. I'm looking forward to seeing you. And for more information, do check out our site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You'll be able to hear a rebroadcast of today's program a little later today. And do send it out. Email it to your family members and friends, because this is the only way Americans are going to get the message. We're certainly not going to get that message from Washington, D.C. Mark, Rich, Larkin, Henry, thank you for all of your help. Have a very happy, safe, and enjoyable Labor Day.
Thanks, everyone. Happy holidays.
Great show, guys. Have a good weekend.